Just reminded me of that when Sandy asked Bill to sing that at a funeral. You gotta die before you die. Amen? Or you won't live when you die. But I'm looking forward to flying away. How many of y'all prepared to fly away? Thinking about that heavenly trip to glory land as ambassadors. Stephanie prepared to go on this trip for the last few weeks, everything she's been doing has been getting ready for the trip, buying what needed to be bought and getting what needed to be taken care of, and all the paperwork and everything else has been prepared to make this big trip to go to a foreign land that she's never been before. And it'll consume your thought process as far as what you got to have. You surely don't want to get way over there and not have what you need. Amen. And so all that's been going through, and the same way is us preparing to go live forever with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to be prepared. I want to be in position that when He's ready to bless, I'm ready to receive it. Amen. And to be able to walk in it and talk in it. And He's done that. He blessed her on numerous different occasions. I shared with our Wednesday night group that Lydia had been sick. She's been on a prayer list. We've been praying for her. She'd been sick for about 3 weeks. She went to the doctor, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And this was probably a week into being sick and just running fever, just really feeling bad. And when Lydia gets sick, she don't get sick often, but when she has, since she was a little girl, she goes to the extreme when she gets it. That's just the way she's been from the day she entered into this world. She rarely ever got sick as a kid growing up, but when she did, it was always bad every time, whether it be with the stomach. I remember one time she had a stomach bug that went through, and they just could not do anything with it. And they gave her Phenergan. How many of you ever had Phenergan before? Y'all like Phenergan. Are you with me when you got a stomach bug? Phenergan wouldn't touch it. Didn't do anything for her. They had to go to the heavy drugs they give cancer patients for having sickness on their stomach where they can't retain anything down. That's what they had to give her. The only thing that would curve it slightly. And she's always been that way. And when she went to the doctor for this, they couldn't figure out what it was. And the doctor was puzzled by it and just couldn't put the finger on it, and prescribed her some antibiotics just in general, saying, I don't really know what it was, but let's just get on these antibiotics and see if we can start treating it. Well, the next day, Miss Sadie, she broke out with the shingles on her arm, on her shoulder up here. She went back to the doctor the next day and saw another doctor, diagnosed it with shingles, gave her medication for that, and the doctor was absolutely puzzled. Why in the world would the previous doctor, in the same office now, prescribe her the antibiotics that she gave her? And what they didn't know, though, is that her mama needed antibiotics to go to China. And the antibiotics that the doctor prescribed her the day before was the exact antibiotics that Stephanie needed to take with her to China. So Lydia just had to be the vessel to get the antibiotics for her mama. And the next day they went ahead and gave her the antibiotics that she needed. And that's just a God thing. It just worked out the way it worked out. And so she was able to go. Because they recommend you bring medicines and you bring antibiotics. And the type of antibiotic that the doctor gave Lydia was an antibiotic that fights against parasites. Why in the world did the doctor give her a parasite that wasn't by accident? Stephanie needed it to go to China. So it's just a neat thing how God works those things out. Amen? He just takes care of those things. Because most doctors are not going to give you an antibiotic when you don't need an antibiotic. So we couldn't just set up and go see somebody and go get an antibiotic. So we was praying, God, you know how to provide. You're going to take care of that. And He did. He just did it through Lydia. Now, Lydia had to sit in the doctor's office that first day for almost 7 hours before she ever got the antibiotics. But anyway, God used it for His glory and His praise. We know how it happened. Amen. Amen. We do. We bless the Lord for that and give Him glory. But I want you to take your copy of the Word of God and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, we're going to look at a couple things in these chapters, and I pray that they'll help us. We're really going to actually look in chapter 7 some too. Might even be in chapter 6. It just depends on where the Lord will land us, and we just dig in and find out what he wants for us. But it is good to see each of you in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our beach bums back with us. Amen. Y'all can tell they've been to the beach. Y'all see them up here? I think y'all got too much sun, too much vitamin D this past week. And probably ate too many shrimps too, huh? Cholesterol's up, I'd imagine. Well, that's all right. That y'all, I'm glad you had fun. We prayed for y'all. And in talking about praying, I wish you would continue to pray for Stephanie. She said she'd love to get a text from you. She can receive texts, so y'all can send her a text. Take a selfie of yourself grinning like a briar-eating mule and send it to her. And tell her you're praying for her. Amen? And she would love to know that. But she is 13 hours ahead of us. 13 hours ahead. So right now it is 12:30 in the morning. So they are sound asleep, hopefully, prayerfully. They're sleeping right now. And but later on today, somewhere around 8, 9 o'clock tonight, once you get home, settled in, just send her a little text, and it'll be 8, 9 o'clock in the morning for her, and I know she'd appreciate that, knowing y'all was praying for her. And she knows y'all are lifting her up, but I know it'll be an encouragement to her for y'all to do that for her, okay? All right, Acts chapter 7, 8, 9. We're really going to really focus in on probably 7 and 8. But I want you to just think on this for a moment, if you would. I was fooling around yesterday evening, and I had this sponge that I was using. And in our day, how many of y'all have some of that synthetic material? You know, those kind of rags that's supposed to be real good, and they don't really absorb water. They just kind of push water. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of times they just push water around. Those things are aggravating. I don't like using a rag that's going to push water and won't absorb water. I like an old-fashioned sponge. And I was fooling with this one, doing something with it. And I'm going to pour a little bit of water on it. And this sponge already has a little water because I used it this morning. But we'll see. What's that? Somebody say something? Oh, Mize back there. Mize had fun in the water yesterday too, didn't he? He was a sponge soaking it up. But we're going to pour a little bit of water on there and see how much we can get in this sponge, cold water, before it starts leaking out everywhere. Still not leaking. Something how them old sponges will hold that up, huh? There we go. Just now starting to come out the bottom. You know, as I think about these men and these women in Acts, what we find is that they were a sponge. They just soaked up the water of the Word. They soaked it up to the point that we even see. Look in chapter number 6 real quick. In the first few verses, there was a situation going on where there was some conflict amongst the church body at the time, and they needed to do something about it. And the apostles made a plea and simply said in verse number 2, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said to them, now you got to keep in mind, there's a bunch of disciples at this time compared to what they had just a few days earlier. The numbers of the church is steadily increasing. And any time you see more people, you see more problems. Because people are just problematic. Aren't you problematic? We're just problematic people. So when the numbers increase, you're going to increase in problems. And the apostle said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Not saying that it was below them. It was just simply saying that they had a ministry and a mission to accomplish already. And this particular need that needed to be taken care of would only distract them and pull them away from the priority of which they've been given. And God had raised up some people that can actually fulfill that ministry and take care of it. So he says in verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, men who are full of the Holy Spirit, men who are full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this particular work, this ministry, this business. Verse 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to the praying and to the ministry of the word. And the saying was pleasing to the whole multitude, and they chose one, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and it lists several other different men that they raised up. The scripture says that the church was pleased, the church was blessed, and the church multiplied as a result of this work. Needs were being met, the word was being preached, lives were being transformed, and they continued to work through the conflicts and the problems that people bring to the table, and things worked well. We also see in verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, and Stephen, this guy who was full of the Holy Spirit, who was full of faith and full of wisdom, it says it again, a man full of faith and full of power did great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen, as well as over in chapter 8, we see this other guy who is mentioned in there, Philip, were men, Brother Shannon, that was like a sponge. They just soaked up the living word of God. When the scripture says a man is full of faith, that is somebody that trusts God at who he is and what he says. The type of people, we see it in the testimony of Philip. When God told Philip to leave Samaria and go down this road, a desert place, he didn't rethink the thing with God. It says, so Philip got up and he went. Why? These are men who were full of faith. And to be full of faith, you got to be full of the word. Because faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith is not asking God to do what we want and expecting him to answer what we request, but faith is simply trusting him and trusting what he has said and obeying him, just following his lead, knowing that he's going to lead us in triumph. When Jesus leads, it's always in triumph, it's always in victory, and we can take him at his word. These were men and women that were full of faith, full of the word. They were like sponges. They absorbed the word. And you know, like a sponge, when a sponge is filled up with water, what happens? You find a brand new, you ever get a brand new sponge and it's real thin and it's kind of stiff. You could break it fairly easily, but you put a little water to it, it changes its structure, it gets a lot more mobile and soft, it's bendable, and it swells up. It goes from being something flat across, you put water in it, it just absorbs that water and it'll hold that water. I want to be that type of person, that type of disciple that's like a sponge, that when God pours his water on me, it does change my structure. I go from being this sensitive person that can easily wear your emotions on your shoulder, that can be broken very easily, to somebody that becomes a lot more flexible because of the precious word that is abiding within us. It changes how we look and how we feel, and we become applicable, that we can be used in multiple type of applications, but so full with the word. Now watch this. I'm not going to lift this up because I'm going to make a mess, and I don't want to make a mess. But when a sponge is full of the word, it don't take much. I mean, just a little sensitive touch, and water is going to ooze out of it. Water is going to be squeezed. Now, if I wanted to get all the water out, all I got to do is pick it up and squeeze that sponge, and the water is just going to flow out. And that's the type of people we see in Acts right now. They're these sponges consuming and soaking up and picking up the water of the word. They're full of the wisdom of God's word. They're full of faith. They're full of the Holy Spirit, and just the sensitive amount of touch of God upon them or the needs of people around them, they just pour forth. Amen. And ooze out the word. Amen. That's how we want to be. Amen. Not like some of this new stuff that just pushes the water but won't soak it up. I do find that. I'm sure you found that before. You ever find somebody that just, they're really not a sponge, but they'll use the word, they'll push the word around, but they only push it when it's going to be advantageous for them. But they're not somebody just overflowing with the word, and you can't squeeze the word out of them. But if they wanted to give you the word, they can just push it, but not just flow with the word. You ever come across people like that? We do. I see people like that. I don't want to be that type of person. I want to be sensitive that when God says, Nick, I've got somebody I want you to go see and I want you to go talk to, I don't try to rethink, well, that person don't like me, Lord. or that person is not going to be acceptable to me. I'm not in the same economic, social status of that person. How will they welcome me into their life? I think about Philip and that Ethiopian eunuch. Think about this a minute. Scripture says that this eunuch in chapter 8, we don't have to read the story. I believe you've already read it. If you haven't, I'd encourage you to read it. It says that he was a man of great authority and that he went to Jerusalem to seek answers. He is what you would call somewhat like a proselyte. Here he is, an Ethiopian with great authority, serving an Ethiopian queen that had permission by them, her, to go to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem, more than likely, around the Passover-type time frame, to glean answers from the Jews, because he felt like they had something for him, that they could benefit him, that they can help him. Something about them was appealing to him, so he went to Jerusalem to get answers. Now, while he was there, it's obvious he didn't get what he was looking for. He's left Jerusalem. On the way back, he's headed back to Ethiopia to fulfill his duty, and God sends a messenger of his who's a sponge filled with the word. And it didn't take much for him to be squeezed out. And he comes alongside, and anytime we see anything like this, even in our modern day, this would be a man. If he's a man of great authority and he's serving a queen, he would be known, like in our times, even in that day, as a dignitary. I'd imagine there was markers upon his chariot. Philip didn't have a chariot. Not many people had a chariot in that day. So he's riding on the queen's dime, more than likely, but he's a man of great public status who had authority to speak on behalf as an ambassador of this queen, somebody obviously well respected in his own country. And Philip sees this. You know, he had to recognize this is somebody that was what he would consider out of his league. When God says, go up and overtake the chariot, he didn't say, God, are you sure about that? Think about that now. Our problem, when we're not living like a sponge full of faith and wisdom and the Holy Spirit, we try to renegotiate when God tells us to do something. We try to figure out a way out of it, or why it can't be, or why it shouldn't work, or why it's not going to work, because this person maybe doesn't like me, or this person may not like somebody that I know personally, or this person may not accept what I have to say. So we try to rethink these things out. And God has never told us to rethink what he's already told us. He's already thought it out, amen? So if he says, go, what do we need to do? Go. Even if it doesn't make sense to us. Even if it doesn't seem logical to us. Because I want to tell you, God's going to tell you to do some things as you walk with him that is not logical. If you try to figure it out, you're going to spend more time figuring it out and miss out on a lot that God's wanting to do other than just simply obeying him. All he wants us to do is obey him. Follow his lead. Just follow his lead. And you see, a sponge is at the mercy of those using the sponge. Amen? And I want to be at the mercy of the Lord, that he can use me, Chris, however he sees fit. When he's ready to squeeze me out, he can get all the water out. I just want him to, Lord, just dip me in your bucket of water and squeeze me wherever you want to squeeze me. Amen? That's what I want. This is what I would want for you. This is what I want for my own family, for my bride and for my children and eventually my grandchildren, to be a sponge that God can use however he wants to use and squeeze us out. Why? Because God's going to put you in the paths of people who are public figures. God's going to put you like this eunuch. God's going to put you in the path of people who are problematic. Y'all work with anybody that's troubled in their spirit? Some of you are retired and are not working anymore. You're at home. But have you ever worked with anybody that are just troubled? I mean, they're problems. Everything's a problem in their life. And you want to avoid them at times. You ever just want to avoid problematic people? I mean, that's a natural thing. We would want to do that. But sometimes God says, I got an answer for that person. And you know what? You may be the one that he's going to use to squeeze out his word upon them. I can't reason with him on it. I just need to what? Obey him. Take him at his word. When he says go, go. When he says stay, stay. Think about Philip for a moment. Here he is in Samaria. There's great things going on there. God is doing a marvelous work. I mean, hundreds or thousands of people are responding to the gospel. Lives are being transformed. The manifestation of the presence of God is happening, and God says, I want you to go to a desert place. Why would you want me to leave all this? I'm needed here, Lord. I can be a blessing here. I've already been a blessing here. You used me to bring the message of the gospel to this place. Why would you want me to leave now? But he didn't think about it. He just said, I'm a sponge in the hand of God. He's going to use me wherever he sends me. So he goes to this desert road, and he finds this eunuch. And you know, it's this eunuch, this Ethiopian eunuch, who was looking for help, and among so many hundreds of thousands of people who just overlooked him, didn't notice that he was there for what he was there for, didn't have an answer for him. He leaves with more questions than he has answers, and he's opening up the Word of God, and he's looking in a copy. I mean, not everybody had a copy of the Word of God. This man had a copy of a scroll of Isaiah, and not everybody had that. Not everybody could afford something like that. But he had one, and he was reading in it. And when Philip came up alongside of him, he heard him reading out of Isaiah 53. He knew where he was at. Why? He was a sponge. He was filled up with that word. Amen. He asked him, do you know what you're reading? The eunuch says, how can I unless somebody help me? And it says, from that place, he began to preach Jesus Christ to him. From that place. Why? Because he wasn't a rag that just pushed water. He was a sponge. And a sponge makes a difference because it's filled with water. He then began to preach Jesus to him. And they go a little bit further along in that chariot, and they see some water, and the eunuch said, there's some water. Can I not be baptized? And Philip says, you sure can if you believe with all your heart. Scripture says Philip got down in that water, baptized that eunuch. The Spirit took him away. And guess what? That eunuch carried the gospel of the living Lord Jesus Christ back to Ethiopia to spread the gospel. Amen? Amen. To bring the living Word of God into a whole nother place. Here's a man that goes from needing help, not finding help, wanting answers, not having answers. Now he leaves that desert road from an encounter with a sponge, and he himself now becomes a sponge to carry the living water of God abroad for God's glory. We have no idea, amen, of what God is doing in our lives. We have no idea of the people that God's going to put us in contact with on a daily basis. And a lot of the people we come in contact with, they may look all together. They may look like everything's all right with them. They may look like they've got a good family structure and a good marriage. And they may be good people and do good things. But the question is, do they know Jesus? Do they have a relationship with him? Is there things going on in their life that they're hiding from you? They look squared away. Everything seems to be fine. And if you're not careful, not a sponge, one that just pushes water around when people, quote unquote, want to see, or if you want to show off a little bit, but not really absorb the water and being squeezed out by God, you'll miss it, and you'll miss the needs of people right around you. But you want to be a sponge, that it only takes a little bit, just a little finger on you, that just oozes out living water. Amen? You know, as I come in this morning, several people made a comment. And Brother Shannon, he said, ooh, preacher, you looking sharp this morning. And I walked into Sunday school class. Chris said, preacher, boy, you looking sharp this morning. I had to tell him my bride lays out my stuff for me, you know, keeps me taken care of. You see, we can look all put together on the outside, but be tore up and be a wreck on the inside. There's a lot of people that can fake stuff. Are you with me? We want to be in a position that we can see the priority and the purpose of God, that he can just let his life flow out of us on a consistent basis. And God will use it. You see, I know that everything looked all right, but like this right here. You see? It's not what it appears to be. And this happens on a consistent basis with people you're around on a regular basis. They wounded. They hurt. They're torn and ripped apart on the inside. This world has failed them. They don't want to let everybody know that it's failed them. So they try to cover it up with so many different things. They're like that eunuch who went to get help, but didn't find the help he was looking for. Went for answers and was surrounded by a lot of religious people, but walked away empty-handed that day. Until God sent a messenger who was like a sponge, filled with wisdom and filled with the Spirit, filled with faith, filled with the Word of God. And all God had to do, matter of fact, that eunuch, all he had to do was just put a little finger, just that sensitive touch of a need, and the water flowed out of Philip. And he was able to help him. God was able to clean that man up, transform his life, and use him for his glory. Amen. And there's people that I know that you know. You may not know what's going on the inside of them, but be sensitive to God's Spirit. Start soaking up everything you can that God wants to pour out in you from that living water. He promises us in Proverbs 11:25 that the generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters shall be watered himself. You cannot outwater God. Ask him to keep dipping you in his bucket and filling you up and emptying you wherever he wants to empty you. He's going to put you back in the bucket. He's going to keep filling you up with his water. And he's going to use you to help people who are just torn up on the inside. You're not going to be able to help everybody. But you will be able to help somebody if you'll just keep asking for God to use you. Amen?
Amen?
I know he will. Don't consider the odds, because God is not in the considering the odd business. It doesn't matter how many will dislike you or be against you or like you or favor you. That's irrelevant being used by the Lord. I think about this trip that Stephanie and them are on. 1 billion plus people there in China. 1 billion plus people, and there's one little girl out of those 1 billion plus people who's been abandoned, who's been neglected, and left to herself. Considering the odds don't seem in her favor, 1 out of 1 billion plus people. But God doesn't consider the odds. All he gives his attention to is willing vessels who will make themselves available to him. And when that happens, he had a place and a person and a family who says, we'll take that little girl, and we'll love her, and we'll lead her, and we'll bless her. See, when God gets in a thing, you don't worry about everything else. He'll take care of that. Amen? And he will. And that's what he's doing today. That's what he's going to do tomorrow. Whether he does it through you or whether he does it through me, he's going to do what he's going to do. I just want to be that vessel that when he says, go, I go. When he says, stop, I stop. When he lets him, when he wants to squeeze what he's put in me out of me, I let him do what he wants to do. Because he knows exactly what he's doing. Even if it doesn't make sense to me, I can trust him in it. Amen? So next time the Spirit convinces you to be kind and gentle to that person who seems to be in a wreck or very abrasive, like the next time you in a store, you in a shop, or you standing in the line and they got somebody that's a little irate and acting all agitated and all angry, hey, they've got to a point where they can't hide it anymore. And they've been looking for help and answers and they hadn't found them, and they frustrated and bitter. You may be the person that God uses to show patience and kindness and just show the love of Christ to them, that it's going to be okay. Don't degrade them. Don't mock them. Don't bring them down. Just let them know that it's all right. Things are going to be better. And you could be an instrument that God uses to squeeze out his living water on them. Amen?
Amen.
He can use you to be a blessing. We live in a messed up world with messed up people. And I guarantee you come across more messed up people then you come across people who are sponges being poured out for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen?
So may God use us in this day to have an impact and an influence on those we come across. He'll use you. Ask him. Father, we thank you. We bless you and give you glory and praise. I pray that you'll help each one of us be sensitive to the people that we're around, even those that look tidy and squared away and all neat and everything looks together. I pray that you'll provoke our spirit and that you will guide us to be a help, to encourage them and to point them to you, to point them to you. Your sponges always point people to you. So we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name.